That's how you blow an 18-point lead, folks. So that's back-to-back losses for the Golden State Warriors. Back-to-back blown leads. They had a 17-point second-half lead against San Antonio. An 18-point lead last night to Brooklyn, who were shorthanded. Cam Thomas got hurt. Cam Johnson didn't even come out the locker room in the second half. He was injured. And yet, Dennis Schroeder, Zaire Williams, they all make plays. Jalen Wilson found it from deep. He goes 5 of 11. This Keon Johnson was active. Shake Milton did his thing. And you look at this four-game stretch, ask as we say good morning to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. You know the drill, man. Teachers, cops, firefighters, overnight dancers, you name it. Hopefully you're having a great morning to drive it safe here on these wet roadways. Two straight losses. We'll get the lights, Chaska. I'll get the lights for you in a second. But it was two straight losses, man, to bottom-feeding type teams. Not good. I was looking for them to go 3-1 in a four-game stretch with Atlanta, New Orleans, San Antonio, and last night, Brooklyn. So, I'll get the lights, fellas. I'll get the lights. Go ahead.
B, that game, yeah, flip-flop those lights. Just trying to get the lighting right in here. God, that game was so frustrating. It felt like Moses Moody was having the best half of the year, in the first half, and he was cooking, and I felt so happy for him. And then to see the Warriors just what felt like in complete control, had everything kind of rolling right there. And then midway through the third quarter, it was a combination of Dennis Schroeder hitting unbelievable shots, either late in the shot clock, after good defense, scramble plays, loose ball turnovers, missed bunnies. I mean, it was a slew of mistakes, and it wasn't like the Warriors were horrible, but they missed a lot of shots, and then Brooklyn came down and would hit a big momentum shot immediately after. And I know the three-point shots were something you kept referencing going into the game, and it felt like the Warriors were out shooting them in the first half after a kind of a slow start, and it thing just flipped on its head, and then it was too little too late in the fourth quarter. And I threw my hands up as just a, I don't pretend to know more than Steve Kerr, but I'm like, we're really going to roll with Pods here and 5 minutes to go and not get Moody back into the game just to give him a look. They had a lineup of GP2, Pods, Wiggins, Draymond, and Steph, which I liked. And obviously I would love to have seen Dre or Steph play a little earlier in that game. They just couldn't recapture what they had going, and Buddy had a tough game. Buddy missed like four or five shots late in the third quarter.
It wasn't about offense because the offensive numbers look great for the Warriors. They shot nearly 50% from the floor, and they made 19 threes. They dropped 32 assists. Those are winning numbers. 13 turnovers. Those are winning numbers. Fast break points. The Warriors outscored the Nets by 14 when it comes to fast break points. Points in the paint. 52 to 34. But in the fourth quarter, you turn the ball over seven times. In the second half, you turn the ball over seven times. You give up 15 points off those seven turnovers. Conversely, on the other side, Brooklyn, they turn the ball over seven times. They only give up 7 points off those turnovers. So points off turnovers really did the Warriors in last night. And it wasn't even like offensively, you score a buck 20, you're supposed to win that basketball game. Obviously, defense was a problem. You give up 70 points in the second half, and they get a lot of paint touches, and they hit the three. Again, Brooklyn going into the game were top five in May threes. They're number five in the league in May threes per game. They make over 15 and a half per game. Well, in Sacramento and last night at Chase Center in back-to-back games, they make a combined 39 threes in those two wins. All right? So that's what they do. They're top five in percentage from the three-point line, and 50% of their shots that they take come from the three-point line. So you do that going in. Yet you're rolling up 18. And this is back-to-back games where Steve Kerr looks to get some production from the youth. Now, there's no J.K. for two straight games. And they missed J.K. yesterday.
They missed J.K. Yeah.
He's been out the last two games with an illness. But the bench had a chance to put them away. And I want to get to Moody in just a second because you're right about Moody. One field goal attempt in the second half is not good enough. And he runs some sets, considering what he did in the first half. 15 points, 5 of 6, or 6 of 7. Let him cook in the second half. He only took one shot in the second half, which is crazy to me. But a lineup with Podzimski, a lineup with Slowbo, a lineup with Moody at times, a lineup with Pods, not being able to stretch that lead out and put that game away, that's two nights in a row. And the reason why it's worrisome for me is because it came against San Antonio or Brooklyn. And now when you look at the schedule, folks, And it's time to buckle up if you're a Warrior fan. They're 12-5. 12-5. And the good vibes, yeah, they've been great. But you look at the next month and a half, or month plus. I'm going to just list these games until the end of the year. Oklahoma City, Phoenix, Denver, Houston, Minnesota, Minnesota, Memphis, Minnesota, Indiana, Lakers, Clippers, Suns, Cavaliers. That's the schedule through the end of the season. There's no gimme games. Kevin Durant's back with Phoenix. Bradley Beal's back with Phoenix. Oklahoma City, they've got Hartenstein back. Denver's starting to figure some things out. Houston, one of the surprises early in the season. Minnesota just went nip and tuck with Boston. We know what they can do. The schedule beefs up. It goes up to another level. So we're going to play a Steph quote because he's on it. We're going to find out the fate of this team over the next month here as we go into January, Shasky.
It's just really disheartening to blow both those games back to back the way that they did. And the way you viewed it as you were heading into that two-game stretch, like, got to get at least one of those, right?
Yeah, the four-game stretch, you had to go 3-1, it felt like. Atlanta, exactly. San Antonio, New Orleans, and last night in Brooklyn, you lose the last two.
It's deflating. It's absolutely deflating. And lose being up 18, almost 20 points in both games. And then, like, I will get into the schedule, but just give me a second on this guy. Something about Dennis Schroeder, I don't know what it is. This guy, he plays the Warriors so tough over the years. I know Will Bynum. I know Montrezl Harrell. If we're just going like ultimate Warrior killers.
Yeah.
Dennis Schroeder, if you told me his career stats are 25 points per game, like in a 48-minute span, I would believe you against the Warriors. He turns into a first-team all-league player.
Plays well against Steph.
He kills them. He hit a couple of teardrop shots, a bank shot late in the game. A lot of these guys were attacking Pajemski late in the game, I felt like. But I thought his effort was there, Pods, but it's just he's not the greatest defender in terms of length. And Dennis Schroeder hit some huge three-pointers. There was one where the Warriors are about to get a shot clock violation, and he misses the shot. He misses the three. Like, all right, we got to... And they can't corral the rebound. It kind of ping-pongs around for a Zaire Williamson dunk. It was one of those kind of nights.
Yeah, Zaire Williams from Stanford really started off slow last night, ended up with 19-10.
I like it.
And they went small. Look, Brooklyn didn't play. There's no Ben Simmons last night. There's no Nico Claxton. They went small. And it may have been strategic because Schroeder didn't play Sunday against Sacramento. He sat that game out. So they play Schroeder. Cam Thomas, who's never met a shot he doesn't like, he will hoist him up with the best of them. But he's a scorer, man. 6 of 11, 23 points, and he gets to the free throw line. That's another thing with the Warriors, 11-17 from the free throw line, 64.5%. They're the worst free throw shooting team in the league. Worst free throw shooting team in the league. Mm. Brooklyn makes 26-30. But Schroeder is a player that, if he's out there on the open market, he's a very interesting point guard to pair with Steph, to pair with anybody. He's a gamer. And so I'm looking at Brooklyn said, boy, can I get my hands on Cam Johnson? Can I get my hands on Dennis Schroeder? Those are the type of players that probably Mike Dunleavy is going to be looking at here at the deadline or looking to get bigger here because I'm not sure if, like, they're 12-5 right now to go to St. Warriors, but it was concerning to me the way they blew these games.
I agree.
All of a sudden, Brooklyn looked like the more athletic and faster team. San Antonio, all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, took it to the Warriors. Now I get it. It's on the back end of a back-to-back, and things are going to happen in the NBA. They're going to have bad shooting nights. That's the NBA, right? They're going to have duds. It's just, it is what it is over 82 games. But when you blow 17 and an 18-point lead back-to-back nights, in Brooklyn, let me tell you, they were down 18 in that third quarter. They were close to just waving in the white towel, saying, all right, let's see what happens here the rest of the way in the third quarter, and we'll just play our scrubs.
Now, that's why this game hurts so much, though, B. Like, I thought Draymond had a very forgettable second half, just in general. I mean, missing the three free throws down the stretch. Not that I think it was going to, like, win him the game, but come on, man, you got to hit those free throws. And it felt like they were hacking him on purpose, you know?
Yeah.
Like, hack a Draymond. And then Pods getting the over-the-back call and then immediately leading to free throws for them. Like, those things can't happen. And, you know, I look at you talking about Schroeder, right? What is Schroeder? Well, he's a guy in the half court who can make a play for you off the dribble and can set up for others. Now, at times, does he think he's an irrational number one option? Yeah, he does. But off the bench, would love to have him. One of the things that I thought they did, the game within the game, Keon Johnson and other guys We're guarding Steph full court, and Steph kept bringing the ball up the floor. And you could tell he was wasting so much energy just bringing the ball up the floor. That what's the point of having pods in the closing lineup if he's not going to bring the ball up the floor? So, I had some questions for Steve Kerr. Again, I'm not here crushing him. I just, why are you playing pods if he's not going to be the one bringing the ball up the floor? Then what's the point of him playing? Like, if you're going to have Steph Curry bring the ball up the court, which I know that he wants to at times, but yesterday was a game where it felt like he drained his energy because of great ball pressure by Keon Johnson.
Good ball pressure, but keep in mind he only played 29 minutes. He had a long, long break. And Steve Kerr's trying to make it a point to preserve Draymond and Steph Curry. But in a game like last night, in these games, you got to win. You got to win because we could pick apart the 12 wins so far. And I've, you know, a lot of Warrior fans have been happy with the start. And I get it. I've been happy with the start. But in the back of my mind, I've said, okay, you beat up on Utah, Portland. And I'm not trying to diminish any victory. You go to Boston, you win a tough road game. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking there was no Porzingis and Jaylen Brown. Chet got hurt. We'll see OKC on Wednesday. You know, they've played some, they've had some good fortune here playing other teams not at full strength. Now, the Warriors are not at full strength. And they're missing De'Anthony Melton. Although Lindy Waters III is starting to come out of it, 13 points last night. I like this activity. But either Pods, Moody, J.K., one of those three guys here with the absence of De'Anthony Melton are going to have to step up tremendously, give them consistent production. Not just consistent minutes, consistent production. And maybe that's Jonathan Kuminga. By the way, you asked about Schroeder. Lifetime against the Dubs, 18 points a game, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 50% shooting. 38 from 3 in 23 games.
Yeah, which means
he's had really good numbers for the Warriors.
I mean,
he always does, man, whether he's with OKC, the Lakers, the Hawks.
What did I say to you, Spadoni? I said to Spadoni literally what you just said. I was like, going back to OKC, this guy has owned the Warriors, it feels like.
He plays that tough, man. He's an irritant.
He hits shots. He's scrappy. He seems to make really good passes late in the shot clock. Like, I thought that they did a great job just out-competing us yesterday. And okay, so you brought up the two-guard thing. Like, to me, that's why the Moses Moody thing's such a head-scratcher, because he played so well. You could tell that it felt like, all right, Moody realizes, now I have an opportunity. I can maybe get some minutes here at the two. And he plays so good to close out that second quarter. I'm feeling great. And then it's like, well, you gotta find a way to get that guy back into the game.
Well, he said something after the game where he basically said that, look, I know I'm not going to get consistent minutes or something like that, but I just got to be ready. It's just the way it's been since I've been here. And it's unfortunate because you think that, man, run him a couple plays, let him come off some pin downs, run some split action, do whatever you got to do to get him the basketball and get him rolling here. The fact that he took one shot in the second half, just kind of scratch your head a little bit.
What did he have in the first half?
6 or 7, 15 points.
And you can't get that guy back. Well, this is the part of the 12-man rotation. It's like, well, you tell me you're going to play the hot hand. You got to kind of play the hot hand then.
He's speaking about the luxury of rhythm. And he goes, that's not a luxury I've had throughout my career. So I've kind of had to figure out how to play whatever happens, whatever the opportunity is. I just kind of deal with whatever. I just got to deal with it. So